Well, think about it. Think about the awesome love of God. Think about that. Everything we think creates what it is we feel. And whether it is dark thoughts that darken our mind, we can feel in a dark mood. But if we think light thoughts and bright thoughts and godly thoughts, we can feel better, right? Right? Yes? So what controls how you feel? How you think and what you think about. So we're going to talk about this morning. And sometimes what we think about actually leads to actions. So we're going to look at somebody in the Bible. I love looking at characters or people in the Bible and seeing where I fit in or you fit in or we fit in. And I go, oh, wow, I can be just like that person. And I can learn something from that person, how I want to be or don't want to be. So there's exceptions and there's also some rules about what we want to be like. Obviously, our greatest example is Jesus Christ. We know that. But there's other examples throughout Scripture that show more of a human side to things and the way we think and react and how that leads to action. So we're going to go to 2 Samuel chapter 25 today. 2 Samuel 25. I'm sorry, 1 Samuel. Did I say 2? My bad. 1 Samuel. There is no 2 Samuel 20. Very good. I guess we need to look at the bulletins after we... Think about that. You notice how one little number can change everything? One little thought can change everything, and right or wrong? See, God just uses even the bulletins to teach us something, right? Because some of us get misinformation from time to time, don't we? Absolutely. Especially about God. Yeah, we're going to tell the truth in this place. God is love. God is love. And God so loved the world he sent his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him shall have eternal life. And shall not perish, right? We know the truth there. There's John 3:16. But back to 1 Samuel 25. I just thought I'd throw that in there. See, now when you start thinking about God's salvation and eternal life, it changes how you feel, doesn't it? Awesome. All right, 1 Samuel 25. And to get kind of give you the context here, this is a story about David. Now, in the previous chapter, this is during David's life when he and Saul were at odds. And so David had been hiding out from Saul because Saul wanted to kill David because of his jealousy. And in the previous chapter, Saul almost gets trapped by David, oddly enough, and right there in the cave has the opportunity to catch him and take care of him. But he relents and he thinks about it and he says, I'm not going to do that because I'm not to touch the head of a king. So he doesn't attack Saul. So we see a good side to David, right? He saw something, he thought about it, and he didn't react the way he could have. He spared Saul's life. That's in chapter 24. Now we're going to go to chapter 25. Now Samuel died, and all Israel gathered for his funeral. They buried him near his home at Ramah. Then David moved down to the wilderness of Maon. There was a wealthy man from Maon who owned property near the village of Carmel. He had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and it was sheep shearing time. The man's name was Nabal, and his wife Abigail was a sensible and beautiful woman. But Nabal, a descendant of Caleb, was mean and dishonest in all his dealings. When David heard that Nabal was shearing his sheep, he sent 10 of his young men to Carmel. He told them to deliver this message. Peace and prosperity to you, your family, and everything you own. I am told that you are shearing your sheep and goats. While your shepherds stayed among us near Carmel, we never harmed them, and nothing was ever stolen from them. Ask your own servants, and they will tell you this is true. So would you please be kind to us since we have come at a time of celebration? Please give us any provisions you might have on hand. David's young men gave this message to Nabal and waited for his reply. So do you see how David approaches Nabal, right? He reminds him that he had helped his shepherds previously, and he also was saying peace and prosperity to you. So he's coming at Nabal with what? An open heart, kindness, right? Gentleness. Isn't that cool? Isn't that cool that he's doing that, right? And he's expecting Nabal to respond in kind, right? You do good to somebody else, they're going to do good to you. Oh, okay. Who is this fellow David? And Nabal sneered. Who does this son of Jesse think he is? I'm sure there's another way to say that, but we won't say it here. Who does this son of Jesse think he is? There are lots of servants these days who run away from their masters. Should I take my bread and water and the meat I've slaughtered for my shearers and give it to a band of outlaws who come from who knows where? So David's messengers returned and told him what Nabal had said. Basically, buzz off, right? Get your swords, was David's reply, as he strapped on his own. 400 men started off with David, and 200 remained behind to guard their equipment. We're going to war. What a great reaction. Peace and prosperity. Now let's kill them. How quickly this beautiful man David, the man that God has chosen to be king of Israel in the future, right? He spares Saul's life when he had him right where he wanted him, right? And he just goes and all he wants is some sheep sheared. And Nabal is a nasty man. So how does David respond? In like kind. Really? You're not going to let me share my sheep? I'm going to kill you dead. A man of God. Meanwhile, one of Nabal's servants went to Abigail and told her, David sent men from the wilderness to talk to our master, and he insulted them. But David's men were very good to us, and we never suffered any harm from them. Nothing was stolen from us the whole time they were with us. In fact, day and night, they were like a wall of protection to us and the sheep. You'd better think fast, for there's going to be trouble for our master and his whole family. He's so ill-tempered that no one can even talk to him. So the master goes to who? Abigail. Doesn't go to Nabal, right? Right? Somebody's stepping in the middle of this, right? Isn't it good to know, right? I think. Abigail lost no time. She quickly gathered 200 loaves of bread, 2 skins of wine, 5 dressed sheep, nearly a bushel of roasted grain, 100 raisin cakes, and 200 fig cakes. A woman could cook. She packed them on the donkeys and said to her servants, "Go on ahead. I will follow you shortly." But she didn't tell her husband what she was doing. Smart woman. Somebody's got to have some sense in that household. If you remember back earlier, it said that Abigail was a woman who was sensible, common sense, used her head, thought about things before she reacted, right? She had a husband who reacts to everything in a negative way. And look at David, he reacts in the same negative way. Where's that going to get anybody? Nowhere. Dead. In conflict. In strife. Certainly not the way of God. As she was riding her donkey into a mountain ravine, she saw David and his men coming toward her. David had just been saying, "A lot of good it did to help that fellow. We protected his flocks in the wilderness, and nothing he owned was lost or stolen. But he's repaid me evil for good. May God deal with me severely, even if one man of his household is still alive tomorrow morning." David's like out, he's going to take care of Nabal and everybody, right? And he thinks God's going to help him seek revenge because Nabal didn't treat David the way he wanted to be treated. Anybody here ever not been treated the way you want to be treated? Right? And what do? You fight fire with fire? Everybody goes up in smoke that way, don't they? An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. You got eyeless, toothless people. Where does that get anybody? Jesus said, turn the other cheek. Did he not in the New Testament? If somebody takes something from you, you know, they take your coat, give them your sandals too. Different way of thinking. When Abigail saw David, she quickly got off her donkey and bowed low before him. She fell at his feet and said, "I accept blame in this matter, my lord. Please listen to what I have to say. I know Nabal is a wicked and ill-tempered man. Please don't pay attention to him. He is a fool. Just as his name suggests." The name Nabal, just in case you didn't know, when you understand the Hebrew, it means fool. Jesus, and in the book of Proverbs, and Jesus also said, don't waste your breath on fools. Don't bother. Don't argue with that. You can't. You can't make sense to somebody who's insensible. We have to think before we do. He's a fool, just as his name suggests, but I never even saw the messengers you sent. Had she seen the messengers with that message, what would she have done? She would have taken care of David and his sheep, right? This woman's having to take care of, she's married to an idiot, a fool, whatever you want to call him, a terrible man, right? He doesn't even know what a blessing she is to him. But needless to say, right, she's trying to stop calamity from happening to everybody. All right, moving right along. This is a great story, isn't it? Remind you of anybody so far in your own life? Now, my Lord, as surely as the Lord lives and you yourself live, since the Lord has kept you from murdering and taking vengeance into your own hands, let all your enemies be as cursed as Nabal is. And here is a present I have brought to you and your young men. Please forgive me if I have offended you in any way. The Lord will surely reward you with a lasting dynasty, for you are fighting the Lord's battles, and you have not done wrong throughout your entire life. Even when you were chased by those who seek your life, you are safe in the care of the Lord your God, secure in his treasure pouch. But the lives of your enemies will disappear like stones shot from a sling. When the Lord has done all he's promised and made you leader of Israel, don't let this blemish be on your record. Right? Then you won't have to carry on your conscience the staggering burden of needless bloodshed and vengeance. And when the Lord has done these great things for you, please remember me. What a sensible, wise woman, right? You think God sent Abigail, who has common sense, to David to stop David from doing something awful and terrible? Isn't it good that we have Abigails in our lives from time to time that tell us, wait a minute, don't react that way, don't go seek vengeance, let God handle it, let God fight your battles. Keep your conscience clear. Keep doing the right thing and God will reward you. It doesn't matter what people say or don't say or call you names, whatever they do to try to stop you from doing God's work. You can't react to every negative voice that's out there, can you? No. You have to do the right thing. You have to think things through without reacting. You notice what David did? He emotionally reacted to what Nabal had said. I did good to him. He did evil to me. I'm going to get him back. Not God's way. So we have to have Abigails in our lives, but more importantly, we have to be Abigails, don't we? Don't we? We have to think before we react. Because there's lots of things coming at us all the time, right? Lots of things oppositionally that happen sometimes in our lives. Lots of things that are said about us or whatever the case might be. And people don't always treat us the way we treat them. Am I right? And we stop doing good because they don't treat us good. No, you do unto others as you would like them to do to you. Does it mean they're going to do it back to you? No, but what do? You keep doing good regardless because you're doing it for God. And you're showing wisdom You're showing the peace of Christ. You're showing that you are above what words and retaliation is about. You're showing love and forgiveness, which is what God wants us to do. Let God take care of our enemies. He's a lot stronger. David replied to Abigail, "Praise the Lord, the God of Israel, who has sent you to meet me today." God sent Abigail to stop David from doing something foolish. You know, sometimes in all of our lives, somebody has to talk some sense to us, right, when we want to react. I hope that sometimes you're the person that talks sense to yourself. Wait a minute. Hold on. Do I really want to go give him a piece of my mind? Do I really want to tell him off? Do I really want to retaliate? Do I? Well, if you grew up in a family like I grew up in, oh, yeah. Let me get the cement overshoes. But is that the way of the Lord? No. Luckily, in between my life and my childhood and my upbringing, Jesus Christ stepped in and gave me a different heart and a different mind, hopefully. And whether or not a person shows you kindness or shows me kindness, you give it to them anyway because you glorify God when you do that. Right? Think before you react. Think about it. See, Abigail told David of some of his negative consequences, didn't she? If you do this act right here, that you're perfectly justified. We can justify why we owe people what we owe them back, right? You stole from me? Really? Okay, I'm going to steal from you. We could do that, but, you know, back and forth. But there's consequences for that, aren't there, spiritually speaking? How do we grow spiritually by acting like somebody else that isn't spiritual? We don't. We're here to grow, aren't we? Just like Jesus was led to slaughter, he spoke not a word. He didn't retaliate against his enemies, did he? He went to the cross for them. All. And for us, all, regardless of the fact that we're imperfect. So if Jesus died for us all, shouldn't we take that same love and mercy and grace and give it to other people too? Of course we should. So we should think before we react negatively. Think of the consequences. What bad could happen if I did this? What, you know, it may only be years later, or somebody might only hear about it, and that disparages God. Right? We want to give God a good reputation by the way we act, by the way we think first. Thank God for your good sense. Bless you for keeping me from murdering the man and carrying out vengeance with my own hands. For I swear by the Lord, the God of Israel, has kept me from hurting you, that if you had not hurried out to see me, not one of Nabal's men would be alive tomorrow morning. Then David accepted her gifts and told her, "Return home in peace. We will not kill your husband. The blood will not be on my hands for what he's done. I'm going to forgive him." Does that bring God glory or what? When Abigail arrived home, she found that Nabal had thrown a big party and was celebrating like a king. He was very drunk, so she didn't tell him anything about her meeting with David until the next morning. The next morning, when he was sober, she told him what had happened. As a result, he had a stroke. And he lay on his bed paralyzed. About 10 days later, the Lord struck him and he died. Whoa. Now, I'm not saying God needs to kill all of our enemies. However, he got so angry, right? This is an angry man, a hateful man. See what anger and hate will do for you? It causes strokes. It causes physical ailments. It causes bad things to happen to you, right? Anger's got to go. It's not an emotion any of us need to have. You can be angry at a situation and say, that's terrible, that's awful what they did, but you don't retaliate in anger. You pray for them. Pray for your enemies. Pray that God will help them. But most importantly, pray that you don't do anything foolish. Because see, David could have been just like Nabal. He could have turned directly into a fool by reacting with negativity, right? Every time we retaliate negative for negative for negative, more negative happens, doesn't it? It's a multiplication, isn't it? Right? But every time you think before you do something, you act out of love. Does love not heal? Right? It does, doesn't it? Does forgiveness change things for the better, doesn't it? So think. Think always before you do something or say something or you act on an impulse. Think and stop. Say, Lord, please send me an Abigail. Do we have a church full of Abigails? Yes. An Abigail doesn't have to be male or female, obviously. It's just a name, but it's a person of good sense, right? Great lesson to think before you act, especially if you are emotionally getting hurt. Because we know that the mind, the way the mind operates, I know this for sure. Anytime you're in fear or anytime you feel threatened in any way, shape, or form, especially emotionally, you're going to respond with a few responses. Very often it's anger. We call it fight or flight. So if somebody ticks you off, you leave them or you fight them. See, but there's a third response that I want to give you today. How about you stay still? We call it freeze. Hold on a minute. Let's think this through. Let's stop and ask God what we can do and what we should do. What should I say? What can I say? What do I need to be thinking, God, instead of just acting or reacting? Could your life be better if you did that? If you use more sense, thinking the way that God would want you to think and acting the way God would want you to act? Would that get you better results, do you think? See, I kind of think that right thoughts equal right actions, equal right results. If you want really good results in your life, do the right thing every single time by first thinking the right thoughts. That's where it begins. Because thought thinks everything we are going to do, and it leads that on our way as to what we act on. So what you think, you become. As the mind thinks, so are you. What kind of thoughts do you want to think then? Even about your enemies? I got a couple of face jobs on that one. I'm not paying attention to any of that. But it makes you think, doesn't it? Because our human reaction, in our humanness, oh, sure. Remember Peter? Remember when Jesus was arrested, right? Talk about a reaction, man. Pulls out the sword and whack, cuts off the ear of the guard. Oh, boy, that was a cool reaction. Oh, now you reacted to my reaction. Am I touching? Everybody knows that story in the Bible about Peter. Was that his best moment? No. To me, it's actually worse than even denying Christ three times. Reactions can cause us to have all kinds of problems. But positive reactions, the way Abigail addressed David and said, hold on a minute, you know, just know that, you know, you have to consider the source. Nabal's a fool. We got that established. Okay, fine. Find another way to shear your sheep. Right? Go on, move on to something else. Don't go fighting battles you don't need to fight. It could ruin your whole future. Think about it first. So what are we going to think about? Philippians 4:8. You've heard this before, so I'm going to give you this scripture today for you to take with you. Because what you do think about does cause you to act and or react. If you think down thoughts, you're going to go downhill. If you think up thoughts, you're going to go uphill. May I have a volunteer? Anybody want to climb hill today with me? Just one person. Oh, come on up, Paul. John, you want to come too? All right. Oh, wow, I got two big men. All right, perfect. Awesome. You strong? Yeah. Feel it. Here, I'm going to grab your Bible for just a second. You can read it later. I don't want you super strong because you got the Bible in your hands. I want you by, got both of you to put your arms out like this. Perfect. All right. So, all right. Now I'm gonna push down on your arm, and you're gonna resist. Ready? Oh wow. Okay. Huh. I'm stronger. And how about you? Oh, not so easy. Okay. All right. All right. Are you right-handed?
Yeah.
Okay. Perfect. All right. Now, what I would like you to do is I want you to think about the most positive thing that's ever happened in your life. Think about it. Whoa, boy. And what I want you to do is I want you to think of the worst thing that's ever happened to you. Did you see what I saw? What you think gives you power or takes power away from you. If you're trying to fight a battle and you're trying to resist something, when you're thinking something negative, you become powerless. It just pushes you right down. When you think of something good and wonderful like God, I'm going to put you back into a positive state here. So you love God, right? God loves you. Oh, yeah, he does. See the physiology of that? It proves our thoughts have an effect on how we feel and how we act and how powerful or disempowered we are. Thank you. You did a beautiful job, both of you. Awesome. It's Philippians 4. So, I wanted to prove a point there where you can see it with your own eyes. What you think about gives you power or takes power away from you. What you think about helps you feel good about yourself or others or makes you feel worse about them. What you think about keeps you in the darkness or brings you into the light. What you think about gives you a way to love or a way to hate. But what you think about, when you think about God and everything God has done for you to teach you this lesson, this day, about using wisdom and stopping and thinking of what God would have you do, no matter what, you'll be empowered and you'll change other people's lives for the better. The story of David and Abigail, by the way, later on he marries her, changed her life for the better too. She was a really good wife. Right? Wasn't David blessed? Nabal didn't know what he had. We often need people in our lives that bring positivity to us and talk us out of doing foolish things. I like to think as I've gotten older, I do less of that, but I can't promise. Well, who's to say? But when I do go to God first, I have all kinds of wisdom. Thinking about those things. So Philippians 4:8. Take this scripture and really take it to heart. And what you can do is if you can't think about all of these things, pick one. Make it easy. Start with one and go from there. Philippians 4:8. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right. Think about things that are pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Think about those things, and you will be a person that walks through life using wisdom and common sense, and you'll have a wonderful reputation that people can see the love of Christ in you and through you because you don't react like everybody else reacts regardless of what they do to you. You give good for bad and good for bad and good for bad. Because we know that good will always overcome bad or evil. And if you want to be strong in your life and have a wonderful, positive, beautiful life, let things go. Make allowances for other people's faults, as Romans 12 tells us. And don't fight battles that don't need to be fought. The Bible tells us make peace with whomever you can, whenever you can. Be salt. Add some flavor to people's lives. Put on the oil of forgiveness to others. And you'll become someone great for God, and God will be glorified from that. Don't you want to be great for God? Don't you want to be beautiful examples for God? Don't you want people to see you and say, oh, that person's so godly. I want that kind of God. There's no insignificance to what we do, when we do it, and how we do it here at this church. But I know lives are changed here. And it's because of the way you are, the way you love. That's what's so beautiful about this church. And we have more souls yet to bring to Christ or bring back to Christ and to help them find God's love. And we're going to do that, aren't we? Yes, we are. And if somebody gets on our nerves or does whatever that we don't like and maybe repays us evil for good, we repay them more good. And eventually they'll get the message that we think before we react, that we would rather love and bring God glory than do anything else, especially being right. Because you can be right or you can be righteous. And we choose to be righteous. So think about it. Think about everything that you do in your life. Fix your thoughts on those things. Lift your own spirits and the spirits of somebody else. Amen? Amen. Amen.